Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Standing by, you know, for Cowboys news. And we'll pass it along. The story of the day, Schottenheimer getting an interview. Could they be heading towards a deal soon? Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings have an extension. So a lot of business getting done here across the league once again. We'll have a look at football's finest here coming up in about an hour. But right now it's time to look back on what was pure glorious entertainment there with football postseason for a 3 day straight. Well, Chuck, take it away.
Let's do it. Some glorious touchdowns were scored, and we like to relive it all in a segment we call TD Tuesday.
Boom shakalak, boom shakalak, boom shakalak, TD Tuesday shakalak.
We start in the division around Saturday football, kicking off the proceedings. It's Joe Mixon and the Texans for their final TD moment of the season.
Handoff, Mixon running right, has the 10, has the 5, he dances into the end zone! Touchdown, Houston! Joe Mixon!
And an extra point away from tying this game, had to overcome adversity several times within this possession.
Of course, they never executed the extra point.
Sorry, Andre. We didn't get that extra point.
Thank you, yeah. Texans Radio, with the call. Do you think they knew when they saw that TD that it was going to be the last TD they would see until the fall?
I don't think so.
That's just such a sad moment. You just hope that you didn't take that last TD for granted.
No. Joe Mixon.
You'll never forget it.
This year. No, you'll never forget it.
But you'll never get that same taste again.
Never get it back.
All right, let's go to the winning team here. And this was Patrick Mahomes doing Patrick Mahomes things where I don't know if the refs really helped him do this one. This was just magic, like to Travis Kelce.
Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game! An 11-yard touchdown! Playoff Pat to Playoff Kelce! And the Chiefs lead 19-12.
Playoff Pat to Playoff Kelce. Our guy Mitch Holthuis with the call there. Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network. And it's true. These guys just raise their level of play. They can go ahead and say Travis Kelce, oh, he's overweight. He's going ahead and hanging out with Taylor. Focus ain't on what it needs to be. And then playoff time. Here's Travis Kelce just catching TDs.
From one great TD catcher to the next, it's another tight end. The young up-and-coming Mr. Samuel Laporta-John.
Goff turns, fakes to Montgomery, looks, in trouble, rolling right, he throws, is caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Oh! Sam Laporta just reached out with his left hand and made the grab. What a ridiculous catch by the tight end.
It was a ridiculous catch.
One of the highlights from the entire football weekend, but that was just the start of a TD bonanza, Wolchuk.
Oh, it sure was. And both these booths, probably our favorite all year long, the Lions Radio Network, the Commanders Radio Network, they were both in the height of pleasure during this game. You'll notice that in every one of these calls. And now we get a pick six. Quan Martin taking it to the house. TD off Jared Goff.
Pressure up the middle. Goff has time. Throws. Oh, that is picked off! 15-10-5, pick six, touchdown, Washington, Quan Martin.
Bram Weinstein just at the, you're He's right, man, the height of pleasure. Started, every one of those touchdowns had him feeling very, very nicey, except this next one, because of course it was Detroit. It was the speedster, Jameson Williams, 61 yards. He finishes it off with a two-pump chump in the end zone.
Bridgewater hands, they give it to Gibbs. He goes on the end around the other way.
Oh, go, baby.
J-Mo. J-Mo inside the 40. J-Mo to the 50. J-Mo down to the 30.
That's a high.
Go, baby.
Right.
He's J-Mo going,
baby.
Lock. He's
yes,
going
sir.
To the house.
That's what we
Jameson
need.
Williams, 10-5. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions, 61 yards.
We knew.
So many Tiger fist pumps and finger guns in that moment. The Lions felt like they were back and they had retaken control. Except, of course, they didn't.
Man, they did not, because Washington just might be a team of destiny, and they finish it off, final TD of the divisional round, punching their ticket to the NFC Championship game. Take it away, Jeremy McNichols.
Hand off McNichols. Can't quite get there. Diving for the goal line. Extra effort. Leans. Did they give it to him? Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! This is not house money! They're flirting with destiny!
Haven't seen this many touchdowns in the nation's capital since Bill Clinton was in office.
Yeah.
Historically accurate, by the way.
Yeah,
not just funny.
Bill. Yeah, absolutely nailed it. The rare McNichols destiny dagger there. You weren't expecting that one. Mm-hmm. You were thinking maybe Jaden Daniels would pull it. But they got a stable of backs there in Washington. I do want to go back to the Jared Goff pick six, though, because he just went full Will Levis on it. I mean, he got absolutely blasted at the end of that play. Gosh. It's like just insult to injury. He came back and tried to figure it out. But that was, I mean, he went full Will Levis on the play. And
he
you never do that
for four quarters. He might have like been channeling his Will Levis the way he played.
Bad time of year to do that. All right, we head to the link where it's snowing, but Matt Stafford is making it rain.
This is the 13th play of the Rams' first possession. Angle from the four. Stafford wings one. Goal line. Caught. Touchdown. Tyler Higbee with a spike.
Mm. A lot of tight ends finding TDs this weekend.
Yeah, tight ends, TDs, they go hand in hand these days. All right, let's go to Saquon Barkley and the Eagles Radio Network, where all you really need is a swollen tongue, and you too can be the play-by-play voice of the Eagles as Saquon Barkley goes 78 yards for an touchdown.
On first down, he goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Saquon Barkley, 78 yards.
Merrill was channeling his papa there. Touchdown, San Francisco.
I believe Barkley has the highest ever rushing yards over under for a playoff game in NFL history or something good like Lord. That because this week, and what do you think it would be at? He just had 205 yards.
I mean, a ridiculous number would be like a buck 35.
Yeah, you're right. This is a buck 30 and a half.
Wow.
And it's the highest That's over nuts. Under for a rushing total, I believe, in NFL playoff history. So congratulations to him. We'll see if he can hit it. All right, let's get to Buffalo. Bills Mafia is going berserk, and so is Josh Allen with the legs.
There's the snap. Handoff goes. No, it's an Allen keeper, and he's going to run it in. A four-yard touchdown run on the read option keeper by Allen. 17. Is a scoring machine.
17, wow. The scoring machine.
Putting the rhyme in there, yeah. I mean, when you have a quarterback that's like a 300-pounder below the waist, why wouldn't you just hammer him in?
Hammer it.
Bills Radio Network with the call.
Thanks, Bills. All right, let's go to Buffalo. This was the touchdown to possibly tie the game. Now, they're going to have to go for two, but Lamar doing MVP-like things, finding Isaiah Likely.
Takes the snap. Bills rush three. Lamar drifting to his left, patiently waiting. Now he's flush from the pocket to the right, resets his feet, fires to the goal line. Touchdown! Isaiah Likely with a sliding catch. And now it comes down to a two-point conversion.
It's another tight end finding the TD. And unfortunately, they go to the other tight end, Mark Andrews. Now, this, of course, didn't count, but we felt the need to play the sound. Mm. Ravens Radio Network, Mark Andrews with the biggest drop of all time.
For the tie, the two-point conversion. Lamar takes the snap, rolls to the right, throws, complete. No!
He dropped it.
Mark Andrews hit him in the hands. And Mark Andrews dropped it as he fell into the end zone.
One of the most sure-handed players the Ravens, in Ravens history, dropped it, hitting him right in the hands.
My mother-in-law is the biggest Lamar Jackson fan. She's in the other room about 8 seconds ahead of me on her stream. So I'm listening to her joy and then the pain and trying to guess what was about to happen on my television.
Oh,
you ever do that?
That's sickening. Oh, that hurts.
That hurts. And I might have been a little hyperbolic there saying the biggest drop of all time. But for those guys in that Baltimore radio booth, it absolutely was.
Yeah, it was.
Just absolutely dejected.
That was heartbreaking. The all-time touchdown leader in Ravens history when it comes to receiving touchdowns. And he dropped the two-pointer. All right, let's go to the Natty. Let's get some college TD, shall we? Well, Riley Leonard.
Big Natty TDs.
Oh, my gosh.
Final time until next year.
The Irish perked up, didn't he?
Hunter takes it. He'll keep it. He's in. Touchdown. touchdown, Notre Dame! It's the opening drive of a lifetime! The Irish lead 6-0, and they start the game with an all-time tone setter. Unbelievable!
Unbelievable, unfortunately, the Irish radio network.
They looked to the gas in the vehicle, and they were basically on E after that.
Yeah.
They couldn't overcome it.
Might have needed a new transmission.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
They needed something for their defense as well, because you blink your eyes, all of a sudden it's 21-7 Buckeyes. Let's make it 28-7, why don't we?
Howard under center. Hands to Judkins. Straight ahead goes Judkins, and into the end zone for another touchdown. Quinshon Judkins, a one-yard jaunt to the end zone. His second rushing touchdown, his third of the night.
I do like the jaunt. The jaunt to the end zone. That's good verbiage there. I don't think we use the jaunt word enough.
You're right. We've done TD Tuesday for years now. I don't think we've had a single jaunting TD until now. We made history in the Natty last night.
That's like a walk the dog situation.
Yeah.
Jaunt the dog.
Jaunt the dog. And then we find pay dirt with Jaden Greathouse. And boy, it was third and Greathouse last night, wasn't it? Riley Leonard giving the Irish just a little bit of hope.
Leonard quickly gets the snap, going to take a shot. Downfield, Greathouse, jump ball, and he caught it!
Yes!
Touchdown, Notre Dame! What a throw and what a catch! Greathouse is in for the touchdown, 30 yards, and the Irish are within a two-point conversion of making it a one-score game.
Oh, the Irish Radio Network with the call. Unfortunately, they did not complete the comeback, but what a glorious set of national championship TDs that we got to enjoy and consume. The majority were Buckeye TDs. And
that's true.
I do love me a good Buckeye TD.
Yes, but it is unfortunate. The final Natty TD at that moment, they didn't know that was going to be the final one.
No, you got to like the shape of them right now.
I would love to run this thing back tonight. Like, I think Notre Dame was close enough. If they could clean up those penalties and maybe adjust their offensive game plan, they could do this thing
and just
crank
up the stamina on their quarterback a little bit more.
Yes.
on the game.
Yeah, that was unsettling. I think he realized he was in the game against some real NFL talent. You know, they were everywhere. That would get me worked
up. They
really
were.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was kind of like when I told you about that shark expedition when I went on. We went on the Pacific Ocean. They throw the cage in. You jump in the cage. You see the 14-foot tiger shark swimming around you.
Oof.
I couldn't hold my breath underwater for more than 4 or 5 seconds because my adrenaline was firing so hard. It was eating up all the oxygen.
Yeah, yeah. That's literally, we saw that take place inside of Riley Leonard's body last night.
Yes, yeah. It was like being in Shark Tank. Well, thank you, boys.
Thank you.
TD Tuesday, an audio celebration of just an absolutely glorious 72 hours of football. Mm. Okay, when we come back, it's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 420. Buddy, where are you taking it?
Well, okay, over the weekend, we celebrated National Popcorn Day. That means we've got the top 10 best movie theater snacks. What's your favorite?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. You know it's time for Woolchuk's Top 10 at 420 every afternoon at this time. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach, with an H. You're Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. It is our understanding that Schottenheimer, a.k.a. Shotty, is in his head coaching interview right now with the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll see how that ends up unfolding. 877-881-1053. What's your favorite movie theater snack? And what's the last movie that you saw in theaters? It was National Popcorn Day on Sunday, and I was celebrating. I had my popcorn ready. We were watching some amazing football. I was hoping the Rams could just ram it and beat the Eagles. That didn't end up happening, but we did get a great game, Ravens-Bills, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo, like the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
And they're back in the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead, where the Chiefs live in conference championship games. What is this, their seventh in a row? Eighth in a row? I've lost count. It's an unbelievable streak.
Did they host one last year?
No, just overall being in the game.
Oh, being in the game.
I think last year was the first one that they didn't host. I think they hosted all the other ones.
I got you.
But they're, basically you can just chalk it up. End of the season, Chiefs are going to be in the championship game. And who are they going to be playing? Well, this year it is the Bills. But I think the last movie I saw was over the holidays. I went with the family. Might have been on Christmas Day. We saw Mufasa, the new Lion King film.
Bye-bye. Me too.
Yep. It was good.
I'm jamming to a lot of these songs with Remy, you know, three and a half years old, loving the Disney songs. So I thought they did a fantastic job with that one.
I liked it too, and I didn't really like the Lion King remake that they did, but I thought Mufasa was really cool getting to get his backstory on that. So I did enjoy that film. I wonder, Brian, like, can you even remember the last movie you saw in theaters?
No.
We go back to like 69, an Alfred Hitchcock film.
Probably Patton, 1971.
Yeah,
Patton.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, or 1970.
We're nailing it there. Lucius,
George C. Scott.
Do you ever take a jaunt to the theater, or are you just all about the Boom Boom Room? Because you do have quite the setup.
Yeah, I like the Boom Boom Room, but the Alamo Theater is right around the corner from me.
Oh, and yes.
Yeah, so I do sometimes walk down there, because if you park, it's like $25 if there's an event happening.
Yeah.
So I don't park. I just walk on down there, catch a matinee, but it's been a minute.
Okay. Dude, the matinee's nice.
Yeah, I like the matinee, bro. What, $6, $5, something like that. You're watching a movie at 10:30 in the morning. You know, and you still have a whole damn day.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah,
it's that's kind of my favorite way to go. And sometimes it's nice to go by yourself.
I'm usually solo.
Yeah,
usually
solo. I enjoyed, like, the one solo activity I always did love to do is just go to the movies by yourself. You get a day off, go in the morning. Lucius, you're on it, dude. I absolutely agree. Do you remember the last film you saw in theaters, Eric? It's probably been a while.
It was Deadpool with you in Oxnard.
That's right.
That's now 2 years in a row. My one movie that I attend is in Oxnard.
Gosh.
It was Oppenheimer. And then this time around, it was Deadpool.
Okay, we got to keep the streak alive, but hopefully we pick a better movie this year.
Deadpool was not very good.
We were both disappointed.
Yeah, it was not very good.
We were both disappointed. 877-881-1053.
Oppenheimer was just too much history, right? I think I needed more sensationalism. A little creative artistry here and make the dude a bit more of a hero. I appreciated the lesson, though. You know, and how that whole thing went down and the Red Scare, it was very interesting.
Tremendously well done, absolutely. But it was long, and we didn't get the they don't have the recliners at that Oxnard.
Yeah, that was really, really disappointing.
So, yeah, to sit there, we're spoiled. I mean, you got to have the recliner.
The PBS version of the Oppenheimer, like they tell you the story, amazing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, it's more riveting than the movie.
Okay.
Is it like documentary style?
Yeah, it's documentary style for real, but it's intense.
The Wild Robot from the 214, Anyone But You, loved it as a single male, said the 817. We watched Wolfman last night, and that was awesome, from the 817. Nosferatu, also an 817, the last movie they saw. 210, last movie I saw in theaters, was the Wonka movie. It's not bad, better than the Johnny Depp version, not as good as the original. I agree with everything you just said there. 682, my wife made me see Wicked twice, loved it.
That's like a 6-hour commitment.
Yep, 2.5-hour movie. I actually went with the wife and mother-in-law as well to see Wicked. And I went in with very low expectations. And I left, actually, thought it was fun. Good movie.
Singing the songs.
It plays every day in my household.
You downloaded the soundtrack?
My gosh, I can't wake up without listening to one of the Wicked songs. It's already on Alexa.
You know? I'll tell you what, I love what Cinemark did, though, for National Popcorn Day, the Bring Your Own Bucket deal. It's like $5. You bring whatever bucket you want, and you can load up your popcorn. So people were bringing, like, ridiculous stuff.
I didn't even see
this. Like a cooler?
Coolers, yes. I saw Yeti coolers that you need like two people to carry in because it's so big. You had like little, like almost like nightstand looking things with drawers on it. People were filling up the drawers. You had like paint buckets and whatnot, bins. Somebody had a laundry hamper. Just like bring whatever you want. Wow. You can get buck wild with it. You get all, we'll fill it up to the top.
$5.
Bring your own bucket.
That is nuts.
How much wasted popcorn was there?
Oh, probably just
tremendous amount.
Yeah. An ungodly amount. The cleanup crew for that one?
They've got plenty of it. Okay, I do want to know, from the 571, they saw A Complete Unknown. That's the Bob Dylan movie with Timothée Chalamet. Was it good? Is it worth seeing? Please let me know. A lot of people saying Gladiator 2 was the last movie they saw. Beetlejuice.
I think that's on Amazon now, right? Gladiator 2?
It is. And I think I caught it. I think I ended up paying and watching it because I didn't want to wait, and I watched it at home, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good, but it had been a long time since I saw the original. Like, it's not as good as the original, but overall, it was still, I thought the action sequences were really good in it. Honorable mention, best movie theater snacks, pizza. And now at these movie theaters, I mean, it's like full-on restaurants you go now. I mean, they're selling like Pizza Hut pizzas at the Cinemarks. I mean, Lucius, you mentioned Alamo, Studio Movie Grill, all of these dine-in theaters, the flatbread pizzas that they've got. Studio Movie Grill, as a kid, they used to do like Pizza Wednesdays. I remember it's like $5 pizzas. Those, and they did like a honey crust. Those were the.
That's a steal,
bro. I shouldn't have said. I almost said the D word.
Oh, that was
that's
the tease.
Gotten me before.
Yeah. You've gotten caught up in the T word mix before.
Well, it is a TD Tuesday. 10 is chicken tendies. Coming in at number 10, best movie theater snack. Reese's Pieces with popcorn from the 214. Ooh, 469 said the last movie they saw was Godzilla Minus One. And I watched that after Lucius recommended it on Netflix. That is probably the best Godzilla movie.
Yeah, fantastic flick. The best Godzilla movie.
Incredible. Avengers Endgame, last great movie I've seen. Yeah, we haven't had a lot of great ones come out. 817, something with lots of nudity. I'll double back and find what movie you're talking about there. Cheese Bits. So that's basically like cheese balls. Fried cheese, mozzarella sticks comes in at number 9. 8, the Icy. I know that's a big fan of yours there.
Yes,
Eric.
Dude. That was the guarantee. It's the Icy. Hopefully somebody in the crew's got popcorn that I can put my nasty hands into and feed myself with. But it's the Icy and probably the Reese's Pieces that were the guarantee.
The Reese's Pieces. And I would like the Cookie Dough Bites.
Cookie Dough Bites are strong.
Cookie Dough Bites were kind of an underrated one that I would enjoy. 7 is the hot dog. Now, I can't say that I've ever had a hot dog in the movie theater.
I've done the nacho thing. I've done the pizza thing.
We're not going to knock on it. Yeah, I've done the pizza thing too. 6 are pretzels or the pretzel bites.
Yep, those are good.
That's a good one to kind of enjoy.
Soft pretzel?
Pretzel. I was just thinking, I don't go to movies, but pretzels are good.
How about coming in at number 5 is the popcorn. This is courtesy of USA Today. Popcorn at number 5.
I feel like, you know, I've never been that big of a fan. I feel like you're sitting there, you're going to do too much of it. Now I got kind of a chapped lip feeling around my lips because the salt's too much.
Butter. Butter's way too much.
You know, and the repetitiveness of it, it's exhausting after a while. Then I got a half tub sitting there and I feel kind of obligated to eat it. It's starting to get cold.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like it's overrated. Plus, it annoys me with everybody crunching their popcorn around me and doing the thing with their straw.
Yeah. You know?
I'd rather go back to the beginning and just start the whole movie deal without the popcorn.
Wow, dude.
Just go ahead and say you hate people.
The popcorn.
That'd be about the.
It's not that I hate people.
The snacks.
You know, I don't
you
like
just hate
being
people
around
you when they're
people's
eating,
actions. Yeah. Big groups of them. You know.
Yeah.
Have you seen these new movie theater ideas? I think it's just a patently awful idea. They have like it's like family friendly, but they have within the theater they have like this indoor sort of like playscape playground thing for the kids to be able to play
Bounce
while their
house?
Parents are watching the movies. And like at first thought, you're thinking like, okay, And then you start really just imagining what that experience is like. And now you're sort of trying to parent while you're watching the movie. It's an impossible task. And yes, I can't even imagine what the sound situation would be like. You have a bunch of kids crying and whatnot. I don't know. It's a new thing. I just saw it pop up on my timeline the other day. And I just thought to myself, this is, I get what you're trying to do here. You're trying to come up with ideas. This should have stopped before the execution of it, because now we actually have playgrounds and theaters, and that is just a masterclass of parental disappointment.
I can't imagine like my kids being somewhere on the premises, but I'm not really paying that much attention because I'm trying to watch a movie. I feel like that's abduction central.
Yes, this is a breeding ground for bad things to happen.
There's very clear rules with going to restaurants and movies. One of the parents has to be able to look the kid dead in the eye and get them to shut up for like 90 straight minutes. If you can't do that, I understand some of these kids are out of control, especially some of these little boys. They're off on rampages. There's nothing you can do about it. But, you know, you got to be honest with yourself and, you know, just stay home and watch movies because you don't want to ruin it for everybody else.
Especially if you're granting the icy candy fiasco into your kid and then they get wound up and now it's playground time. If you think you're going to be able to focus on that movie, you're out of your mind.
You already know how nervous I was to fly for the first time with the baby, because I was like, I don't want to be that couple that has like the screaming child on the plane. Although there's nothing you can really do in that moment, but you just feel terrible. I would feel the same way. Like, I'm not taking Eliza to the movie theater until I know I can trust her. Like, we're good. Where I'm going to be able to sit there, we're going to watch a movie together, it's going to be fine. Until then, all the movies are at home, because I don't want to inconvenience other people. Because
my old lady will tell you to shut your baby up on the airplane. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, and it's like,
shut that baby up!
Needed her on that last flight.
Amelia, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I'm so embarrassed.
I can do.
So embarrassed.
Four is the ice cream. And they got all kinds of stuff. Like Dippin' Dots? Is that the Cinemark in West Plano?
I love me some Dippin' Dots.
Crazy ice cream selections now at the theaters.
That's probably the only ice cream I've ever done during a movie. I've never like been licking on a cone sitting in the middle of the movie theater.
No, you don't want to do that. You want like bonbons or dibs or something like that.
Oh, the dibs, dude. Yeah. Overpriced, but delicious. Because I don't think you get enough in the little can, but they're great.
Are you guys with me on the... on the Dippin' Dots, though?
Yeah, I'm into Dippin' Dots.
Dots is fire.
Ice cream of the future, man.
Is that the ice cream of the future? Yeah, that's 100% great.
Like, anytime I would go to the mall,
it's great.
It'd be the highlight. Like, we got to get the Dippin', because that's the only place I remember
flavor?
Going.
What's your go-to? Because I'm a banana split guy.
Never had the banana split one.
It doesn't actually even really taste like a banana split, but it's fantastic.
Sounds promising.
Yeah, it really is.
Because I don't want it, actually.
The best thing I can say about it is that it doesn't really taste like a banana split.
Top three movie theater snacks on National Popcorn Day. Candy at number three.
Kit Kats.
The Kit Kats are the way to go. A lot of people love the Sour Patch Kids. The Raisin Nets getting some love on here. The Bunch of Crunch. I do love me some Bunch of Crunch. Number two is the nachos, Eric. But number one, the best movie theater snack. It's the one you sneak in from home.
Oh, the one you sneak in from home.
Ooh, you put it in the pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the way to go.
Parka. You go beers in there. There's all kinds of
cheeseburgers, bro.
Yes, you told me the all-time goated move. Like, you're bringing legitimate, like, Wendy's Dave singles in there.
Full-on Wendy's, man. I'm like, dude, the... Western Center, United Artists Movie Theater was my hometown movie theater, and there was a Wendy's right outside it. You just drive through, you get a bunch of junior bacon cheeseburgers, you put it in the hoodie, and you're having the time of your life.
That's your top 10.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Tremendous once again. Coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, it's time to chat with Mark Schlereth, our Odyssey NFL insider here on The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. Let's do this. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Make sure to check out the Stinkin' Truth podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And a good afternoon, Mark. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing okay. Reports are that Brian Schottenheimer is currently interviewing with the Cowboys to be their next head coach. If that's the guy they end up hiring, would that be a good move for the Cowboys?
I mean, I like Shoddy. They could get Mike McCarthy. He's available, I heard. ultimately... we've had this conversation. You know, I think that Pete Carroll's one guy for me that would at least bring gravitas into a locker room. At least he would have some credibility with your players. Shoddy's a good coach. Shoddy's been around the league for a long time. And, you know, he's been an offensive coordinator for a long time. So, I like the name. I like the guy. You know, I worked with him at ESPN for a while. I've known him for a long time. I think he's a really good coach. Again, How much authority are you given when you run the Dallas Cowboys? Not much. And so I think it's a really, you know, I think it's a really tough position. I still think it's probably the best job available simply because it's the freaking Cowboys. And I think they're talented. You know, they've got a talented roster with a talented quarterback and all those things. But, you know, of all the jobs left right now, certainly it's the best job available.
How excited should Bears fans be that they got Ben Johnson, whom the Cowboys didn't even feel like they needed to interview?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Ben Johnson is the guy that everybody covets, you know, and having met with him and talked to him, I mean, I can understand why offensively, you know, we always make a big deal out of offense and as we should. And I think one of the things about Ben, he's really good at kind of seeing the game, you know, three, four, five plays ahead, a quarter ahead, you know, really good. I always say there's a difference between calling plays and calling an offense, and I think he does a really good job with calling an offense. That said, I mean, he's been coaching in Detroit for the last 3 years with arguably one of, if not the best offensive lines in football, great running back situation in Detroit, best, you know, slot receiver in football, really good tight end, and they weren't all there at the same time. But, you know, they're a really talented group, and they have had a really talented group for a while with a very talented quarterback. So, you know, you don't have that same dynamic in Chicago. So there's nothing. The thing that's interesting to me is there's nothing you can't call when you are the coordinator in Detroit. There's nothing you can't say, well, we can't hold up doing that, or, you know, our offensive line is going to break down on that, or we don't have a guy that can run that route. Like, you don't ever have to think that way as a coordinator in Detroit. You're going to have to think that way as a coordinator kind of slash head coach in Chicago.
Stank, as a former offensive lineman, and you see these Final Four teams, and they all have pretty impressive rushing attacks, as you look at them all and you sort of break them down, is there an offensive line sort of run game coordination that you come away most impressed with?
Well, I think, you know, I think right now Philadelphia, just from a pure size, power, kind of impose our will against you, they would be the group that would be most impressive in that. Now, you get to Buffalo, I think their tackles are incredible. I think Spencer Brown's a really good player. I think Dawkins is a really good player. And I think ultimately they've got a great running game right now. What they're doing – and the implementation of their quarterback within the running game, especially down in the red zone, is really where they put Josh Allen to work. So they do a really good job with that stuff, all the tackle trap stuff they do. They're really a very balanced mixture of zone and gap kind of scheme. So I really like what they're doing as an offense in general. So those two, you know, for the AFC side and the NFC side would be my two favorites as far as just the way they dominate in the run game.
Hey, Stink, you know, I know you were there in Washington for a long time and won the Super Bowl and stuff with them, but if you had to say what was the biggest change and rank them in the order of an ownership change, the hiring of the coach, or the quarterback, how would you rank that in order of why the Commanders are in the position they are today?
Well, I think, obviously, I think, one, it would be the quarterback. And you know, the ownership is very important, right? Kind of washing the stain off the organization is incredibly important. And Dan Quinn's incredibly important in setting a culture and demanding the proper culture. But the quarterback comes in and just executes. And I mean, let's face it. I think, you know, the Dan Quinn thing's really interesting to me as well, because, you know, you guys had him there and you know, sure, how connected he is and relational he is. And, you know, what I hear from people around the league is, oh, I've got to get a young offensive coach, you know, a guy that's an innovator, a guy that's this, that, and the other. And we get so enamored with age, youth, you know, relates to the players. And I just think that's such a farce. It's just so faulty. You can either communicate and you relate to the players or you don't. And Dan Quinn, there's nobody in this league that is more relational than Dan Quinn. He's demanding. There's a right way to do things. He's going to demand that they're done, you know, demand that they're done correctly. But that dude is a relational dude, man, and he's connected to his football team. And here's a defensive coach. Normally defensive coaches err on the side of protecting their defense. And he's like, screw my defense. My best player is my quarterback, and I'm going to lean into him. Hey, fourth down, well, we're going to go for every one of them because you know that we're going to have to outscore people, and the quarterback gives that to us. So I think that's an incredible job by Dan Quinn, but, you know, ultimately the quarterback, what they're asking him to do, the level of competence that he's shown, the level of just professionalism that he's shown, and his ability to make plays in critical moments, dude, he's having the best rookie season of any quarterback, I think, in arguably in the history of this game.
Yeah, it's incredible what he's doing. Has he already become one of those quarterbacks that can carry a team just like the best guys in the league throughout the years? Is he already there?
Well, that's what he's done to this point. I mean, that's what he's done. Like, most rookie quarterbacks, most young quarterbacks, aren't given that opportunity, right? There, it's like you got to manage him, and you got to run the ball, and you got to, you know, you got to really be good up front. You got to play stellar defense. And I saw this statistic today, and I don't know 100% what it is, but it was like, hey, with Ben Roethlisberger, all the rookie quarterbacks that have gotten to this point, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, Mark Sanchez, you know, all the way to Sean King with Tampa back in the day, every one of those guys had like a top three defense. And I think the Commanders are like 20th in defense. Like, it's unbelievable what he's been able to accomplish.
Stink, I'm picking against the Chiefs this weekend. I think this is the time the Bills circle the wagons and finally beat Kansas City in the postseason. What do you think of this matchup?
Well, first off, I hope you're right. I like anybody who played this game, who's had some, you know, success in this game that wasn't a member of the Chiefs. You know, I'm a part of one of those teams that went back-to-back championships. So I don't want to see the Chiefs go. I don't want to see the Chiefs three-peat. I really don't. So, yeah, call it the hater in me, but that's just the way I feel. So I hope Buffalo is able to do it. I hope they can overcome the Chiefs. You know, the bottom line is they run the ball exceptionally well. They're a physical football team. Defensively, they've played really well here of late. Offensively, the Chiefs have never really been in much of a rhythm all season long. Except the end of the regular season, they did score some. They did have some 30-point games or whatever, but you know they weren't great last week either. So it'll be really interesting. I think the one thing that you just know when you play the Chiefs, if you give number 15 the ball last with more 13 seconds or more, you're gonna lose. And so, you know, it's not only playing well, not turning the ball over, running the football, possessing the ball, not letting the Chiefs offense possess the ball, but at the end, managing the game so you've got the ball last. It's a tough task, no question about it. And that's why it's really hard to beat the Chiefs. I have a ton of respect for the Chiefs. There's no question what they've done is absolutely amazing. That said, you know, I hope they get obliterated.
Can the Eagles win it all with Jalen Hurts in the passing attack, playing and producing with what it is right now?
Yeah, they can. I mean, I think obviously they can. It really comes down to this: Jalen, don't turn the ball over. You know, convert a couple of third downs, either with your arm or with your feet. Don't turn the ball over. We're going to lean into our run game. We're going to lean into our offensive line. Those are the things we're going to do. We're going to play stellar defense. And right now, when you look at both lines of scrimmage, I mean, Jalen Carter's been unblockable. Like, that dude has just been terrorizing the line of scrimmage. And their offensive line is big. They're athletic. They're strong. They create a new line of scrimmage. And Saquon Barkley, hey, you may shut him down like last week. Like, the two carries that he broke out a 60-some-odd yarder and a 70-some-odd yarder, right? Every other carry, he averaged, you know, on the rest of those carries about 2.5-3 yards per carry. But he had those two breakout runs. And that's the thing about Saquon. When he breaks the line of scrimmage and you're so committed to stopping him from breaking the line of scrimmage, when he does, it's a house call because he'll outrun everybody too. So it's pretty amazing what he's been able to accomplish.
Stink, who messed up more not running the ball, Baltimore or Detroit?
Probably Detroit because they were able to score 31 points. And, you know, or whatever, I think it was 31. And And, you know, they got taken out of their – well, obviously, defensively, they got injured. Their best corner had been Amik Robinson the last, five, 6 weeks. He's been really good. And when he went out on that first or second drive with the arm injury, man, you should have done everything you could have done to keep Washington's offense off the field, right? Possess the ball, eat up the clock, time of possession, all those things, and you didn't. And eventually it ended up costing the game. And I'm not like, hey, Washington was great, don't get me wrong. But at some point, you've got to protect your defense because that's the weak link in Detroit because of all the injuries they've had.
You're the man, Stink. Enjoy conference championship weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week with the Super Bowl matchup, man. Take care.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
There you go, Stink. Every Tuesday, 4:40 here during the football season of the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Make sure you check out that Stinkin' Truth Podcast Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. In addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, what are we looking at?
Ben Johnson is the first Lions coordinator to leave for a head coach gig since, and one common thread between the NFL's Final Four teams next in the nation.